Okay, there are no announcements out of closed session. To the board, Monber.
Hello? Okay. I will be starting off with the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts School Report. For school activities, we will be having our first Dragon Fest of the year on Friday, October 13th at MCAA's outdoor stage. Dragon Fest is for MCAA students to perform for their school during a lunchtime show. Auditions for Dragon Fest were on Thursday, October 5th and Friday, October 6th during lunch. There will be 5 different performers for this show. The senior class will be hosting a Halloween-themed movie night for MCAA students to attend with their families on Friday, October 13th, starting at 6 o'clock p.m. on the MCAA campus. MCAA will be having a Halloween dance on Friday, October 27th, from 7 to 10 p.m. in the MHS cafeteria. On October 31st, we will be having a costume contest as well as a performance by the MCAA dance and choir departments during lunch. For productions, our next upcoming production is called Much Ado About Nothing and will take place from Wednesday, October 18th through Sunday, October 22nd at MCAA's outdoor stage. However, there will not be a show on Friday, October 20th. Field trips. On Wednesday, October 4th, all MCAA seniors had the opportunity to go to Yuba College for Yuba College Information Day. College representatives from different CSUs, UCs, and private universities were there to provide information for prospective students. Along with that, there was a presentation on the topics of financial aid and higher education. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Monver. School reports, community day school, and independent study, Mr. Gray.
This year you don't have to figure out your own song. That's good. So let's see, you want to do that? Oh, nice. Wait a minute. Tap one more time. All right, there we go, look at that. Good evening, board members, student representative, Mr. Carrion, Mr. Hodson, Kathleen, and guests. Thanks for being here tonight. I really don't like speaking in front of people, but I'm going to use this time to talk about my schools, which I think is very important. Marysville Community Day School and the Independent Study Program. Yes, it's complicated, but it is fascinating. There's a picture of our office. Now, I hope nobody's offended by my slide here. Sometimes people get labeled. Community Day School is often called those kids. Independent Study Program, sometimes we're known as better than nothing, and I want to explain why we're better than nothing here in a minute, but we want to provide quality educational experiences to both of these programs, and I think we do. There's my independent study building. There's my staff, as you can see, part of my staff. We have Grace, Donna, several of our teachers right here, and about 24 other teachers at work at our site. Here's why we're better than nothing in action. Actually, I stuck that wrong picture in there. Never mind. This is my community day school staff. But at Independent Studies, we have 210 students on our rolls. There are over 285 at any one time during the last school year. 86 students graduated from Independent Studies last year with diplomas. We currently have 110 males, 110 females, which I thought was kind of an interesting thing. We take care of the educational piece for these students. With that staff I mentioned, we've raised the educational bar to make sure our teachers are teaching grade level work, and we use the Common Core State Standards and district adopted curriculum, thanks to the district for providing for us. All teachers are required to incorporate technology components into the curriculum, and again, that meets Common Core State Standards requirements. Students must complete appropriate amounts of work and make all appointments and use writing strategies which meet those standards as well. We've raised the educational bar. That's something that I always challenge my teachers to do, is do the very best you can. There's a myriad of reasons that kids are on independent study programs. We want to make sure that we give them the highest quality education that we can. And again, you can see the requirement there. I just like this picture. Yes, we are better than nothing. We are way better. That's a picture of 1949 B Street. Those kids. And I want to tell you about them. But first, I'm going to show you a picture of the beach at Dunkirk. In May 6th through June 4th of 1940, the British Army was trapped on the beaches at Dunkirk. The Nazis were just bombing and shelling and trying to annihilate the British Army. And the British people rose up and had sent over 800 vessels of every kind, Royal Navy ships, fishing boats, yachts, rowboats, anything, virtually anything that would float, they sent over there to rescue these soldiers from certain annihilation across the English Channel to safety. And when 338,226 soldiers were saved, on June 4th, Winston Churchill stood up in front of the House of Commons and he said what I think was a very important statement to the people. We must be very careful not to assign to this deliverance the attributes of a victory. Wars are not won by evacuations. He understood that there was a lot of work to be done. So what does that have to do with me? I had my own Dunkirk last year, about a year ago. August of 2016, I began my journey as a principal. We were two teachers short on staff. We had an intern that was struggling, to say the least. We were short by two paras. We had a long-term substitute who was struggling. We were without one of our veteran teachers. And we had, it seemed like every single day we would get a new kid to our expelled junior high. And it was just this bombardment of stuff. And it was tough. And I think I'll call it my highlight, my pivotal moment happened when right there at 1949 B Street in front of my school, this parent with her finger waving in my face said, "Your school is horrible and you're doing a horrible job." And all I could say is, "You're right, but we are going to make this better." By the end of September, my mother had a heart attack and she passed away just about a year ago today. One of my long-term sub had gone to take the pot of gold over to Yuba City teacher strike, and substitutes were unwilling to come to our place. Yeah, we felt like the British Army, and the bombs were coming. But with a lot of help from Mr. Carrion, we hired an ELA teacher. We changed our intern to a different teacher who's currently doing a great job, and we regained our teacher who had been out on medical leave. The teaching staff on their own time, their staff spent hours discussing what can we do to make this thing right. So, on October 3rd, 2016, we began to make some progress. We knew for a fact that wars were not won by evacuations. I'm going to show you some pictures of CDS in action today. These are kids engaged in grade level core content lessons. There's a fabulous shot of a kid doing our PE golf unit. That's what it looks like. This guy's a success story. You guys voted him back to Yuba Gardens a short time ago. He's doing great. Let's show us him student of the month. Here's one of our most proud moments. This guy's name is Jose. I don't know if I'm supposed to use his last name, so I won't, but he was a winner of the Marysville Exchange Club grant for $300. Thank you, Mr. Fleury, for helping inspire us to get him to write the component and to get that. And what he's holding in his hand is from the State Senate, California State Senate. Senator Jim Nielsen sent him congratulations on him overcoming obstacles in his life. He was a non-English speaker just 3 years ago. Now I got a picture of the Chicago Bulls. What is this about? Okay, I got to tell you. Back in 1996, I wasn't a Bulls fan. I'm still not. But it's something about these guys. You know, they won 72 of 82 games during the regular season. They outscored their opponents by 13 points. But here's what stands out to me. They were confident. They had a plan. They had a purpose. They executed those things at all times. When the starting lineups were introduced prior to the game, I'll never forget how that went down. That song Sirius started, and all of a sudden, out comes, you know, Steve Kerr, Dennis Rodman, Robert Parrish. And man, when they got to Michael Jordan, you just knew that the Bulls were going to win again. And that's what we wanted our staff to be like at Community Day School. So, my staff's pretty cute. We make a difference. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see what I need to do here. Uh-oh. What do I need to do? Just touch something. Nope, sorry. This is going to be good. Beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, your CDS starting lineup. From Chico State University, Secretary Ji Tao. From Sacramento State University, Counselor Clint Tarrant. From San Francisco State University, multi-substitute teacher Tanya King. From Fresno State University, Special Education's PE teacher Erica Cuevas. From the University of California at Davis, science teacher Maggie Jackson. From Chico State University, ELA teacher Niels Wright. From Chico State University, mathematics teacher Karen Engelhardt. And from Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, social science teacher Steve Westcamp. Kind of like that song. I tell you, I make that comparison with full confidence. That's not what we do. Let me tell you what again they did. They had a plan, they had a purpose, and they executed at all times. That's what we do. Here's what our results show. Fall 2016, we had 68 non-promoted or expelled students, 60 transitioned to the school of their residency, and all expelled students who were eligible to reinstate did. 72% of these students are currently, I mean as of today, being successful at their home schools. They have at least a 2.0 and or higher, and several are on honor rolls or on sports teams. We have a clean, safe campus. Students from Lyndhurst High School and Marysville High School are welcome to come for the second semester if they're failing courses and they need a safe environment. We provide counseling for our expelled students. We have boys and girls groups which meet weekly. We had 42 students request to stay at CDS last spring because they liked it so much. We currently have 71 non-promoted students, 16 expelled students. Our staff means all. I got that right from the PLC work we've been doing, thanks to the district. Yes, we are those kids. I'd like to finish with the quote that I had last year at this time. It's the action, not the fruit of the action, that's important. You have to do the right thing. It may not be in your power, may not be in your time, that there'll be any fruit. But that does not mean you stop doing the right thing. You may never know what results will come from your action. But if you do nothing, there will be no fruit. I added, every now and then, you get some fruit. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Anybody have any questions or comments for Mr. Gray?
You know what you proved out at that school? Kids don't care what you know till they know how much you care.
Proud to say a lot of my staff right here today. This is it's pretty meaningful to me to get the support I do from them, and it's that goes for you guys. You support me 100%. If I have issues, I go, you know, because there's a lot of things I don't know. So I ask a lot of questions. I'm not always sure what I'm good at, but I'm good at asking questions. And you know, I go to Jolie's office on a regular basis. I get correspondence from the board. Mr. Carrion has been an invaluable resource. Dan right here just hooked me up with a good song, man. I mean, it's great. Kathleen I go to, so I don't feel like I'm on an island by myself, but I just thought I'm proud of my staff, I'm proud of our kids, and yeah, if we're those kids, everybody should be those kids.
You're right, you've got to have the support. Every team needs a good leader with support behind them.
Well, thank you very much.
I would just like to also say thank you, Mr. Gray, to you and your staff for everything that you do for our kids there.
Yes.
Thank you.
Everybody smiling and just like they're having the best time and the best day of their life, you know. So I really say thank you all for everything that you do. Keep smiling.
Yeah.
Okay, comments from board members. Mr. Allison.
Well, first off, I want to thank you again. I'm impressed. And I'm really impressed with our board and our school district. You know, listening to you people in closed session, you know, talking about the, you know, devastation up in the hills and stuff, and the empathy that was expressed for, you know, the students and how important it is for us to, you know, try to understand the needs of these kids and the needs of the teachers and all the things that some of these people are going through. And just, hey, thanks to them, to everybody.
Okay, Mr. Rasmussen.
So on our board packet that we actually received the STARS grant again this year, and I just wanted to give a shout out to Mrs. Pomeroy with all that she does with regards to the STARS. I think that's such an important program to allow our kids a safe place to be and to help reinforce education after school is out. The other thing I wanted to comment on, as I was coming over today, I saw the student crossing signs over on 18th Street that looks like they're finally getting put up, and my assumption is they're going to put little flashing lights on the road also, so it's going to make that a safer environment for kids to cross. So thank you if there was support from our staff getting that done. And I know that we did that through the city, but I think that's going to make it a lot safer for our kids.
Mr. Fleury.
Yes, first thing, last week at the Exchange Club, Mike and Gay came to our Student of the Quarter. Student of the Quarter is when we honor all the students, one each quarter, from the 9 comprehensive high schools. And we're about the only district that we have leadership that comes, and people have commented on that. The second thing I was going to mention about Covalod, and then Gay told us in we're going to have a facilities meeting, and she explained the reason why. The reason I felt strongly about it is a lot of people don't realize that was Glenn, that used to be his district, and that was a big project for him. He wanted to see them get a shade structure. And the other reason is they've raised the $20,000. I know it's not enough to cover it, but I've never in my years seen where kids would raise money for a project. And so I know that we are going to have a facilities meeting. So I just wanted to mention that. That's it.
Mr. Crawford.
Well put, Mr. Fleury. Just that the Kynoch girls' fourth and fifth grade soccer team made it to Sacramento, made it all the way to the finals. And then it came down to free kicks, and they lost in the finals in the free kicks. But yeah, heartbreaker, yeah, a lot of little girls crying, but they really played their hearts out. And it was cool watching them. I still don't understand soccer. It was fun.
Ken Saul. Miss Scott.
I had a chance to go and visit a few schools, but one school that I really would like to speak of at this time would be Lyndhurst High School. And I would like to applaud Mr. Eckert and his staff for the outstanding job that they do. He welcomed us, and he was so excited to show us around the school and to go over the different VOTEC programs that they have. And we had an opportunity to go and sort of see pretty much each one of them. The culinary arts program, thank you for the lights, the media department, the welding, and what else was it? And the new, they've taken things to another level. I'm not kidding. I mean, just to even to be able to think about the things that these kids are getting a chance to do, the hands-on learning, the modernization that they did over the summer to the maintenance departments, how they just went through, and I mean, it looks absolutely gorgeous over at that school. And I would like to say that I was just like in awe to see the kids participate and take the time to share with us, to show us that their media department, they're hooked up with KCR radio. They have a teleprompter. I guess probably in the very near future, when they do their school announcements, I guess they're gonna have the televisions set up so that each classroom can see that, you know. So I was really excited about seeing that. One other thing is that, you know, the leadership that they display, you know, it's just gonna be such potential for the modern era, the things that we're gonna go out and take place in the near future. And I'm confident that this program will exceed to the maximum potential that they have. So I would just like to say that if any of you get a chance to go to visit, to see what they're so excited about doing, you know, I can't invite you to somebody else's house, but I would ask you to please call and ask him, can you go and see it? And if you're not as excited as I am, please come and see me and I'll go with you.
Mr. Davis.
Yeah, I had the chance to visit with both Cedar Lane and Olivehurst Elementary. And for Cedar Lane, it's unbelievable how beautiful that campus is. And they've had quite a bit of modernization, especially in the first wing, and it looks incredible. Jill, I can't say her last name correctly, but anyway, she is unbelievable. And we had the chance to walk through a couple of different classrooms, her cafeteria, her beautiful grounds, and the kids running up to her, hugging her. She knew their names. It was just a very loving and caring facility. She has needs, which all the campuses do, but the atmosphere there was just really impressive. Also at Olivehurst, Jim Fleury and I did both these, so it wasn't just us, me. But Richard Sullivan, who's a new principal out there, is, to put it in a crazy lingo, just jazzed about that school, what its potential is, where he wants to go, and a whole laundry list of what he wants to do there. And the grounds look incredible. He kept raving about his learning center and how he uses it and interchanges students in and out of it. Innovative, new principal who has taken on the task and is moving forward. There are things he would like to do with the campus. A lot of it appeared to be easily accommodated with time and money, and a lot of help from Travis and his crew. But he just was so enthusiastic about the garden. And apparently it's kind of fallen into a little disrepair, but nothing structural, just needing some loving kindness. And but he's got a teacher there who's was raving that he's got the winter vegetables ready to go, and he's ready to go to get things planted. So it was just so reassuring that the staff, at least in the campuses that I have visited so far, are enthusiastic about their campuses, what they can do, and very, very upfront about all the support that they get from the district. That if I heard that once, I heard 100 times. And I was with Susan and Jim at Lyndhurst, and that reception area, the whatever you're calling that area with the administrative section, looks right out of any college campus I've ever seen. It is incredible, and they are exceedingly proud of that facility, and they have a lot to be proud of. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Gray, I never hear any complaints about your school ever, and prior to you taking it over, I would quite often actually, as I'm out in the neighborhood, you know, at different sports functions, different things around, you know, in the grocery store, I would hear, you know, complaints quite regularly. But ever since you've taken that program over, I don't hear anything. So I know what a wonderful job you're doing, because people are happy there. And so thank you for all your efforts. And then, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out with the people up in the foothills. You know, there's been, sounds like, quite a few homes lost up there. Mr. Allison doesn't know if he has a home to go back to. So, and Scott, thank you for, you know, going up there. I know you were probably called out wee hours of the morning to try and provide transportation to help evacuate people. As I understand, one lady lost her life trying to get out. So, you know, as this gets further down the road, I'm sure there's gonna probably be some ways to donate to some of those people. So our thoughts and prayers go out to them. I have a few extra head to feed at my house, a few animals from up in the hills, and a friend of mine's able to get hay up there, so I've been providing hay for some of the animals. So, you know, anything that people can do, I'm sure is appreciated. Okay, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers, Operating Engineers, Local Union 3, CSCA 326-648, Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit, no public comments. Superintendent's report, Dr. Todd.
Thank you. You will need to mark your calendars. Next board meeting is October 24th, and at 4 p.m. we will be hosting our annual longevity and tenure awards in this room. That's always the highlight, I think, of our fall, when we get to celebrate the length of time that people have been in our district. It truly is a family atmosphere, and you can tell when you start hearing the number of years that folks have been with us. And then on December 12th at 1 p.m. we will have a special board study session where we will be looking at funding and facility projects, and the board will be prioritizing those projects. And there's a school messenger that went out this afternoon. School is canceled once again tomorrow for the Foothill schools. With only 15% containment and roads still closed, it's really not a safe environment to be sending students. it is a difficult time for many, many families, just not knowing what's waiting for them when they return. It's difficult, but certainly we have supports in place. Our two mental health clinicians were at Marysville High School and at McKinney, volunteering to come and work with students who may have been displaced or have family members that are in this horrible situation. So we're trying to pull out all of the supports, not pull them out, but bring together all of the supports for our students, and we will ratchet that up soon as we have our students back in their classrooms. Mr. Carrion did send out an email to staff who are not in the affected area but perhaps work in those school sites, and they are able to go and volunteer at a school site close to their home. We're hoping that that will help with the shortage that we have in substitutes, and will help classes to go on for the students that are in fact able to be in school. Plus, we have teachers who work, who are in the foothills, who have school sites here in the valley, and so hopefully we'll be able to cover that and make sure we keep things as seamless as possible. So we're hoping that we have a better day tomorrow, and we will take it one day at a time to see when we can get those kids back into the regular schedule of attending school in their home schools. And a shout out to Scott, who got the call. It's very early in the morning for transportation for evacuations. That seems to be our only communication with the community, our agencies, is when they need our buses. So although we had a meeting this summer with the Office of Emergency Services talking about how we improve communication, we've not seen that yet again. So it's a bit disappointing, but certainly we've had, I've had calls from the county superintendent and from Yuba City Superintendent Doreen Osumi, saying, what can we do to help? They're here. And so that's appreciated, but we really do need to work on communication, because fortunately, it was not a student school day. It was a teacher work day, so it gave us a little bit of ability to kind of strategize and talk about what we needed to do to make sure everyone was safe. And so Scott was down here. Mike sent me a text at 2:30 in the morning. Thanks, Mike. But that's the only way we knew. So important to get news in a timely fashion and not off of the Sacramento TV station. So we'll work on that. So with that, we are here to support our families and our staff that are going through a horrific experience. I know many of them thought, you know what, I dodged the bullet with the potential flooding this last winter, and now they have the opposite with the fires up in the foothills. So we'll be here for them. So with that, that's the end of my comments. Thank you.
And move on to approval of minutes from the regular board meeting of September 26th, 2017. If there are no additions or deletions, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Fleury. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Consent agenda. Does anybody want anything pulled off the consent? Personnel Services number 4. Anything else? What page is that on, Mr. Fleury?
Page 11.
Personnel Services number 4. Okay, does anybody want anything else pulled? Okay, then is there a motion on the rest of the consent?
I'll make a motion to approve consent.
Motion made by Mr. Rasmussen. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Allison. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Okay, we'll go back to Personnel Services number 4. Mr. Fleury?
I just have some questions. Reading the job description, and we're going out for a director of buildings and grounds. And are we going statewide for this?
We're going to cast as wide a net as we can in order to get somebody with the experience level that is required and contained within the job description. A lot of the trade organizations that will be looking to post the position will also cast their net wider because they have connections, and oftentimes the various entities that pick up the job description or the opening, they tend to also partner with other agencies that then post on their boards. So it'll be as wide a net as we can cast out there.
How are we going to do it? Because we currently have someone in that position.
Technically, we don't. We have someone that's, thanks to the work that he's doing, is helping with some of the projects that are associated with some of it. This will change the logistics and the configuration of the duties of what would normally be the facilities director. By and large, it's seeking to find the best qualified person that we can.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
We're seeking to find, obviously, the experience and the best qualified person that we can.
Well, I do have a concern in the fact that we advertised in the last two we've had a lot of problems. Both of them had a lot of problems. I'm not going to go into it, but I think you know what I'm talking about. We go outside, it looks good on this piece of paper, but there's no way you know until you get them here. And then we've had problems with them when they get here, and then. That concerns me.
Once we get to the point of interviews, I would just like to make a recommendation that maybe we have representation from the board on the interview panel.
I'm sure at the time the superintendent will seek interest level, as we often have in management level positions.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
You know, that really didn't answer the question. What happens to the person that currently in that position, if you find someone else for that position, what happens to their job?
I'm not sure what you mean by the fact that we have someone in that position. Technically,
well, you've got
we don't.
A director of facilities has been here for 2 years plus.
We don't have a director of facilities right now, Mr. Fleury.
Buildings and grounds. That, and then you find someone else. What happens to the one that's in that position?
We don't have somebody in this position. We don't have this position right now.
You have somebody in the director of buildings and grounds, as a buildings and grounds person. What happens to the ones that's in that position?
We currently don't have any position. If the board approves this position, we'll have the clearance to post a vacancy and try and fill this position. Currently, we don't have anybody in this position. The position doesn't exist until you take up a vote. We post and then ultimately look for a candidate.
If I could add, since I sort of helped generate this, in our current structure, we have a director of facilities position that has been open. We currently also have an executive director of maintenance facilities and the fancy title, but including that. So the current lead supervisor position won't change. Presumably that billet, whoever, whether it's the incumbent or somebody else, would just have a different boss. What it really does is consolidate all aspects of facilities from conception to building to maintenance, all under one person. And so that is separate from our current structure, if you will. So this is reorganized in a way that's really in line with what you see throughout the state and other school districts, and gives kind of one person who has an overall site without adding any current structure. And then from there, so the lead supervisor would just have a different boss, and that doesn't predispose any person for the job. It just means we'll cast a wide net so that, to be fully transparent, that we get the best person, whether that's from inside or it's from outside.
That helps. Does part of experience include the person needs to have some kind of a license, like a contractor, B1 license or something?
I'm sorry, sir, without your microphone, I can't hear you.
Okay, so the question is, does this position, does the person, one of the qualifications that this person needs to have a contractor's license, like a B1 license or something like that, to be able to supervise these different projects? Or how do we determine who this person's going to be?
So again, with the acoustics being terrible, what I think I understood your question to be, would we require this person to have a contractor's license? And typically, no. Of the
good education, at least
that would be uncommon as well. Experience in school construction is important, But really, you know, there's a lot of expertise that we hire out. We'd hire out the architect, or we hire out typically construction manager. So having an overall awareness of, you know, basic working with DSA and the like, and then again, knowledge of practices in operations and maintenance and the like is obviously critical as well. It's really an overarching of all of that. And again, typically you see MOTF together, but our transportation is so large, I think that's too big of a spread. So you need to have some mixture of experience in those three related to business. And what that does, just as an example, if you go to Lyndhurst, you'll see that under the former facilities director, that increment two for that air conditioning that was signed off by facilities, now it becomes a maintenance problem. Having one person do that is great, because you can't just pass that problem off. It's yours. You own it from conception to implementation to maintenance. And so it makes a ton of sense to me to have that be one person. And again, that brings us in line with the common state of most districts.
Any other questions? If not, is there a motion under Personnel Services number 4 on the consent agenda?
I'll so move.
Okay, motion made by Mr. Allison. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And all those in favor? Seconded by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor? One, two, three, four, five, six, yes. Opposed? One opposed. Mr. Fleury opposes. Okay, I believe that was the last item on the agenda. There's no new business, so the meeting's adjourned.